Hello again. This is the old Good Morning Man, Kermit Edney, with program number 41 in a series of 260 programs covering life in Hendersonville over the past 50 years, the WHKP years. We call the series Where Fitz Left Off. Did you know that in 1946, Hendersonville had a cannon, a Fort Sumter cannon, and we had a walking and talking X-ray, as well as J. Fenimore Cooper, H.G. Love, and Ulysses S. Grant? The story after this. Hendersonville's first cannon, as I remember, and certainly the first Fort Sumter cannon, lived right here on this lot where this radio station now stands. Because, indeed, a man born to the Cannon family in Tembroke, Georgia, was named by his father Fort Sumter. As a young man, he moved to the Charleston, South Carolina area and taught school as well as engaged in truck farming. Later, he got involved in the hotel business in South Carolina and in Florida and finally became connected with the Metropolitan Life Insurance Company. He spent his summers in Hendersonville and, in fact, bought real estate here from time to time, including the tract of land and the house on which this station now stands. I knew Fort Sumter quite well, a bright and pleasant personality, which you had to have if your daddy, in a lighthearted moment, names you Fort Sumter Cannon. X-Ray also learned to live with a name for which he received ribbing all his life. His father, Walter Lenore Ray, worked for the Asheville Citizen and obviously had a great sense of individuality because he named his first son X-Ray, who was born shortly after the Roentgen Ray machine was developed. But then he named his third son Horace Greeley Ray and his fourth son Theodore Roosevelt Ray, although Theodore Roosevelt Ray did manage to get his name changed to simply Ted R. Ray. In fact, Ted Ray made quite a name for himself as one of the top executives of Harcourt Brace Jovanovich's publishers. Now, his brother, X-Ray, made a career in the Postal Service, and his first son would also not only become involved with the post office, but would also be the second person to generate the story of Henderson County in his book's Postmarks, which is no longer in print but is a collector's item. His name was Charles Lenore Ray, but everybody knew him only as Lenore. And Lenore would marry Lucille Stepp, who was also in the newspaper business just like his grandfather, working first, Lucille, with the Western Carolina Tribune, and then until her retirement for the Times News. Fort Sumter Cannon died in 1954. In fact, it was on this very day, March 11th. And X-Ray died in 1961. Now, Lenore Ray, what a tragedy. He died at a very young age in 1971. But also living here in 1946, when WHKP signed on the air, was J. Fenimore Cooper. Not the author of The Deerslayer or The Pathfinder, but this J. Fenimore Cooper lived at 1016 Patton Street, and he was freight agent for the Southern Railroad. And the H.G. Wells, who lived in Hendersonville in 1946, obviously had nothing to do with the War of the Worlds or any other book, as far as I know. Our H.G. Wells was a realtor with offices in the Hunter Building on Main Street. He lived at 616 Fifth Avenue West, and his phone number at home in 1946 was 29J, and at the office was simply 27. And our Ulysses S. Grant did not establish great fame as a general. I venture he has gained some fame over the molasses he sells in the fall each year. And I believe out of all the people mentioned, U.S. Grant is the only one still living. He is a son of John Vernon Grant of Fruitland. And this seventh child almost ended up with a name out of the ordinary. My mother's father was the Reverend Thomas Jefferson Waters, founder of the Christian Advent Church out at Dana. All of the other children born to my mother had been named for Dad's side of the family, the Edneys or the Kings. And I was told that Dad had promised Mom that the next child would be named for her father. Now, Dad didn't like the Thomas part of the Thomas Jefferson, but he was a real disciple of President Teddy Roosevelt, who had married Edith Kermit Caroe, and she and Teddy named their second son Kermit. So he had already decided I'd become Kermit, and he'd just add Jefferson for my maternal grandpa to please Mom. But on the way to the courthouse to register the birth, he bumped into his sister, Aunt Sally Kate Pace, and I was told that she convinced Dad, it would be horrible to name that child Kermit Jefferson. Dad gave in, and when he filled out the birth registration, it was simply Kermit Edney. In the military, at all formations, your last name is called, and then you respond with your first name and middle initial. And if you didn't have a middle initial, you'd answer Kermit, NMI. That was an abbreviation for no middle initial. Well, apparently the seventh child almost gave a name to his seventh child that would be as uncomfortable as a Fort Sumter cannon or X-ray. But get this, the worst of all, the very worst of all, the daughter of Governor James Stephen Hogg of Texas, he gave his daughter the name of Ima. Ima Hogg, who was able to live down this ignominious act of her father by becoming one of the great philanthropists of Texas, she founded the Houston Symphony. Well, Ima Hogg. Well, Kermit the Frog. Sursum corda as we approach the next 50 years.